Well, good morning. Open your Bibles with me, if you would, to Matthew chapter 11. Matthew chapter 11. The title of our lesson this morning is God's Prophet and Message from Matthew chapter 11. Before we begin, let's bow together in prayer. Our Father, we bow before your awesome throne of grace this morning. So thankful that in our Lord Jesus Christ, we can come before a throne of grace. Not coming before a throne of justice, but a throne of grace and mercy for your people in our Lord Jesus Christ. Because of who he is and what he has accomplished for his people. And Father, we're thankful. And we are thankful to know that you are on the throne. That you rule and reign in all things. That nothing that's going on in our life, both the extraordinary and the unusual and the usual day-to-day activities are all under your direct control. Father, we're thankful that you're God who rules and reigns, and to know that nothing is out of control, that it's all under your hand, under your purpose, and we're thankful. Father, I pray at this time that you would have mercy upon our country, upon our world, that you would provide a way that this horrible virus could be healed and put away. Father, thou art the great physician, and we know that thou art able. If you will, you can make us whole. I pray that you'd be with our leaders, our those who make decisions for the safety of our people, and be with the doctors and nurses that treat those who are ill. Father, give strength and be with them in a mighty way, we pray. Father, we pray for your people, those who particularly in a time of trouble, they're heartbroken, they're bereaved, they're recovering from many various sicknesses. Father, be with your people. Comfort their hearts. Give them a fulfillment of your promise that you not leave nor forsake your people. Father, how we beg of thee at this time that we cannot meet together in person, that you'd bless your word as it's preached. We are constrained from meeting together, but you're not constrained. Father, bless your word to the hearts of your people. Continue to cause your word to go forth in power, to save your people, to call out your sheep, and to feed and edify and comfort the hearts of your people. How thankful we are to know thou art able. Bless your word, Father, we pray. Bless us in this hour as we look into your word. Teach us more of the Lord Jesus Christ and the gospel concerning him. For it's in his precious name that we pray and give thanks. Amen. All right, now our text this morning gives us a description of God's prophet and the message that he preaches. And it is very important for us to be taught this lesson so that we're able to recognize God's preacher when we hear him and that we'll listen to the message that God's given him to preach, because if God's given him the message, if he's God's prophet, there's salvation in his message. It's important that we recognize and hear that message. It's also important for us to learn this lesson so we'll be able to recognize a false prophet when we see him. And we won't listen to his message because his message cannot save and it can only hurt our souls. And our Lord, in describing John the Baptist and his message, gives us a description here of God's prophet and his message. Number one point is this: God's preacher is consistent. He's consistent with his message and his methods. Verse 7, Matthew chapter 11. And as they departed, Jesus began to say unto the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into the wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind?" Now the Lord asked the people who were there, "When you went out to hear John the Baptist preach out there in the wilderness, did you expect to see a reed that's shaken with the wind? Did you expect to hear a man who would be inconsistent in his message? Did you expect to hear a man who'd say one thing today and something else tomorrow, depending on who's out there to hear him?" That's not God's servants. God's servants are not inconsistent men. God's preacher will not change his message depending on who happens to be listening. God's servant's not going to change his message by gauging who's in the audience and telling them what he knows that they want to hear. God's preacher is not going to change his message based upon the whims of changing society. False preachers today say, you know, we can't preach the same gospel that Calvin and Luther and all those other reformers preach because society's changed from then until today. I want to tell you, that's not the reason that they won't preach this gospel. They won't preach that gospel because it'll cost them hearers. That's not what men by nature want to hear. And God's preacher is not going to be inconsistent. He will not change his message to fit what people want to hear at that particular time. Now, you already know, you've been taught this, to know you can recognize a false prophet when his message does not match up with the whole Word of God. But you can also recognize a false prophet in his inconsistency. His message is inconsistent with the Word of God, but he'll also say one thing for a while, and then a few years later he'll say something else because he's adapting his message to a changing crowd. He's trying to reach a different crowd, and he'll adapt his message to do it. And that's reprehensible. Reprehensible. Don't ever listen to a man like that. God's preacher has a backbone of steel, and he will not change his message. His message will be consistently the message of Christ. It has to be, because the message of the gospel, the message of Christ, never changes. I don't care how much society changes, the gospel of Christ never changes. See, God cannot change. God is immutable. Immutable is a good sounding religious word, which simply means God cannot change. He can't change. God told us, I change not. Therefore, you sons of Jacob are not consumed. God is holy, and he cannot change his holiness. God cannot save a sinner by ignoring their sin. He can't change that. God is just, and God cannot change his justice. God cannot save a sinner. God cannot accept a sinner unless their sin has been paid for in full. God is also merciful and gracious. And God cannot change his mercy. He cannot change his grace. Now that means two things. Number one, it means this. If God has purposed to have mercy on a person, God's going to be merciful to them. He cannot change his mercy. But number two, it means this. If God saves a sinner, it's going to be purely by mercy and grace. God's not going to save a sinner in the least bit by their good works or their decision or something that they did. Salvation must be purely of God's mercy and grace, because God can't change his mercy and grace. When God saves a sinner, it must be both just and merciful. That's the truth of who God is. God, that truth can never be changed, and it can never be compromised. God's preacher will be consistent in preaching that God, declaring that God to people. Any man who tells you that God wants to and can't, or that God would change his character in order to make allowances to save you, that man's a liar. God's preacher will preach in such a way that God is glorified in everything first. And he'll be consistent in that message. Then man can't change. No, God can't change, and man's nature can't change. Man has a sin nature, and it can't change. Man can only ever be completely sinful. He's always unable to make himself. He's unable to save himself. He's unable to make himself righteous. He's unable to even make himself more savable. Men, by all their religious activity, can never please God because everything we do is full of sin. That's man by nature, and that truth will never change. I don't care how much society changes. I don't care how many advances that we make in science and medicine, how many advances we make in thinking we're stamping out prejudice and so forth. The truth of man's nature can never change. He's full of sin, can do nothing but sin. He has no hope in himself. Now, a man's a false prophet if he gives anybody any hope in anything that they do. A man is a false prophet if he won't call men dead sinners, because that's what they are. John the Baptist did. He was consistent in this, preaching to men their sin nature. John's baptism was a confession of sin. That's what John was preaching. And God's preachers have been consistent telling that truth ever since. God's preacher will tell you the truth about yourself. First thing that's got to happen is he's got to kill the flesh. The flesh has got to be insulted. The flesh has got to be killed. It's got to be put down. And God's preacher can't be afraid to do it. He won't be afraid to do it because the only way we'll be given life is the flesh is killed first. Then and only then can we have life in Christ. So God can't change, men can't change, and the gospel can't change. Salvation is by the will and purpose of God Almighty, and that salvation is in the Lord Jesus Christ. Salvation began in the purpose of God in divine election. It didn't begin when you made a decision for Jesus. Salvation began in the divine, in the purpose of God in divine election. Then salvation was earned by the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ to God's law. Salvation is not in us obeying the law and being a good little boy and a good little girl. Salvation is in the obedience of Christ, His perfect obedience to God's law. And salvation was purchased by the blood of Christ, the blood that He shed to pay the sin debt of all of God's elect. Christ's sacrifice is not an offer to men to see how many people might accept Jesus as their personal Savior. Christ's sacrifice was not offered to men. Christ's sacrifice was offered to God. The blood was before the Lord. The sacrifice was offered to God for all the people that God gave Christ to save. And those people are God's elect. Now those people shall be saved because Christ's sacrifice put their sin away. Then salvation is applied by God the Holy Spirit, giving life and faith in the new birth. A sinner does not receive life by walking an aisle, giving their life to Jesus or letting Jesus be the king of their life. Salvation is applied to the hearts of God's people when God the Holy Spirit gives a new nature, a new heart that believes Christ, loves Christ, and trusts Christ. See, that is God saving us against our will with our full consent. God saves His people against the will of the flesh with the full consent of the new nature that God gives. That's how God saves a sinner. And that's God's gospel. And it can never be changed. God's preacher will consistently preach that message. And any man who takes the edge off of those things, or says things in such a way that the message is unclear, like, well, you know, it could mean this, or it could mean this, I'll just take it to mean what I want it to mean. I'm not exactly sure where he stands on that. That man's a false prophet. He's not preaching the gospel consistently. God's preacher will consistently preach Christ in every message, from every text, week after week after week. And his message is not going to change, no matter how long he preaches. Now, one would hope that we'd get better at this thing of preaching as time goes on. But the message won't change. And if you can find a man who's consistently preaching Christ like that, who's consistent in his message and will not change it, his message is consistent with the Word of God, you listen to him. That man's got a message from God that'll save your soul. He's consistent. All right, number two, God's preacher is not in the ministry for money. Verse 8. But what went ye out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in king's houses. Now, John the Baptist was not a man who looked like the religious leaders of that day. He didn't look like the scribes and the Pharisees who had all their fine robes and their wide phylacteries. John the Baptist looked like a wild man with his camel hair coat, his leather girdle, his diet was eating locust and wild honey. I mean, the man, he had to look like a wild man, didn't he? John the Baptist was not a pampered man, was he? No, he was a hard-working man. And you could tell by the way he lived his life, he was dedicated to his calling. And that's God's servants. They are hard-working men who are dedicated to their calling. God's preachers are not in the ministry so that they can have a life of ease. And most of God's preachers aren't like John the Baptist in the sense that they look like wild men or they're eccentric or something like that. But they are like John in this way. They're hard-working. They're working-class, hard-working men. They work hard in the study. They work hard in prayer. They give themselves to preparing and preaching. And they do not have a life of ease. They don't have to be pampered and have the best of everything. That's not their primary interest. God's preachers are not in the ministry to make themselves financially comfortable. God's preachers are under-shepherds. And their job is to care for the sheep. They don't live by fleecing the sheep and herding the sheep and taking from the sheep. Their function is to care for the sheep, not take from them. And God's preacher is not trying to get something from you. He's trying to give something to you. He's not trying to get your money and your goods and all those things. He's trying to get you to know Christ, no matter what it costs him. If you find a man like that, you listen to him. More than likely, he's got a message from God for your soul. All right, number three. God's preacher is a preacher. Preaching is his business. Verse 9. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yea, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, John the Baptist was a prophet. He was the last of the Old Testament prophets. And John was faithful to his calling. He preached until Herod finally shut him up in prison and then eventually beheaded him. Now, God's preachers are preachers. They're preachers. They're not social reformers. They're preachers. Our dear friends at Katy Baptist Church in Fairmont, West Virginia, they still to this day call their old pastor, Scott Richardson, the preacher. They call him the preacher. That's a pretty good compliment. Scott was a preacher. His business was preaching the gospel. That's God's servant. God's preachers, they work hard in this matter of preaching. They work hard in the study, in prayer, seeking God's blessing, seeking God's direction, seeking that God give them a message. They work hard in studying the scriptures. They work hard in preparing a message. And they work hard in faithfully and clearly preaching the message, the gospel that God has given them. They spend their time in the work of the ministry. Many of you have jobs out there in the workforce, down at the refinery. You work hard. You spend your time working hard there at the refinery. You might work in a steel mill or a hospital or various things, whatever. You spend your time there working hard at that. God's preacher spends his time working in the ministry to preach the gospel. God's preacher is not a politician who's trying to please as many people as he possibly can. God's preacher is set. He's determined to preach the gospel every time God opens a door for him to preach it. God's preacher sees this as his responsibility. It's to feed God's sheep, to take care of them, to watch over them. To watch over them by preaching the gospel of the glorious riches of God's grace in Christ Jesus. That's how God's preacher takes care of the sheep, how he watches over them. By watching over what they hear, by watching over what they eat spiritually, making sure it's the green grass of God's word. God's preacher, God's pastor, he watches over God's people by preaching Christ to them consistently and faithfully. Now I want to be a good friend to you. I want us to be able to enjoy fellowship together like friends do. I would a whole lot rather you like me as not like me. I mean, that's so. But I tell you what I desire most is to be a good pastor to you. A good pastor is one who faithfully preaches the gospel to you. That's how you can identify God's servant. And you find a man, that's his business, is the preaching of the gospel. You listen to him. He's got a message from God for you. Now, fourth, the message of God's preacher is Christ. See, we read that in verse 10. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Now, God's servant doesn't just preach any old message. It's not somebody just preaching for the sake of preaching. What's he preaching? Who's he preaching? God's servant preaches Christ. He preaches Christ, he preaches all Christ, he preaches only Christ. Every message that he preaches is Christ. Every message he preaches points you to Christ. Now our message, the message of God's servants, is Christ and him crucified. And that doesn't just mean we say that Jesus died on a cross. The preaching of Christ and him crucified tells us what Christ accomplished. by his death on the cross. What did Christ accomplish by his death on the cross? He accomplished the eternal salvation of all of God's elect. He accomplished the eternal salvation. He put away all of the sin of all of the people that God gave him to save because of who died, because of whose blood it was. See, the message of Christ and him crucified tells us who Christ is. He's the Son of God. He's both God and man. He is the promised Messiah. He is the perfect Lamb whose sacrifice is able to take away the sin of his people. That's our message every time we preach. Every time God's servant preaches, his message is Christ. Christ is our salvation. Christ is our righteousness. Christ is our sanctification. Christ is our hope. Everything God requires of a sinner is in Christ. So our message is only Christ. It's all Christ, only Christ. Every time we preach, it's not trying to get people to straighten up and fly right. It's not trying to get people to do this, that, or the other. Our message is to preach Christ. The only way you'll know Christ the Savior is if God sends some man who's consistent, who's got a backbone of steel, who will consistently preach Christ and only Christ to you. That's what John the Baptist did. John the Baptist preached Christ. The Old Testament prophets told us that the forerunner, they didn't tell us his name would be John the Baptist, but they told us that the forerunner is going to come and he's going to preach Christ. Isaiah in Isaiah 40 verse 2 said, John the Baptist is going to be the voice who cried, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make straight in the desert a highway for our God. Look back in Malachi, the last book in the Old Testament, Malachi. Malachi chapter 3. Malachi prophesied of John the Baptist. God's messenger is going to come. He's going to preach Christ. Malachi 3 verse 1. Behold, I will send my messenger, and he shall prepare the way before me, and the Lord, whom you seek, shall suddenly come to his temple, even the messenger of the covenant, whom ye delight in. Behold, he shall come, saith the Lord of hosts. The Lord promised he would come, and he came, didn't he? And he, John the Baptist, prepared the way of the Messiah by doing three things. Number one, John came preaching man's sin so that we would see our need of Christ. That prepares our hearts to find out who Christ, to believe Christ, to seek him out. John came preaching man's sin so that we'd see our need of Christ. So we rejoice when he came. Number two, John told of Christ who would come and would save his people from their sin by his obedience for them. And number three, John identified the Savior so people would believe him and people who would follow him. John said, behold, the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. There he is. Now you believe. You're a sinner. If you need him, you believe him. He's able to take away the sin of the world. And all of God's preachers still yet do those same three things. We preach man's sin so that we'll see our need of Christ. We tell of Christ who has come, how he has saved his people from their sin, and we identify the Savior. It's not just any Jesus. It's not another Jesus like the Apostle Paul told us of. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. Here's how you can identify him from his word. Now you believe him and you follow him. That's the identifying mark of God's servant. They preach Christ. And you can tell the man is God's preacher when he cares a whole lot more about you knowing the name of Christ than you knowing his name. You can tell a man is God's preacher when he cares a whole lot more about you following Christ than you following him. He's not trying to gain a following for himself. He's trying to gain a following for Christ. He's trying to get you to follow Christ. God's servant wants you to revere Christ. Not revere him, revere Christ. And here's something else about God's preacher. They're not in it for fame. They're not in it for personal glory, to gain a personal following for themselves and feel like, you know, they're so adored because they got a bigger crowd following them than somebody else. John the Baptist set the tone here, didn't he? John the Baptist was the forerunner of Christ. John came first. He was preaching first, preparing the way of the Lord. And the Lord came. He identified the Lord. This is the Savior. Here he is. But John came first. John was a bright and a shining light for a time. He had a big following for a time. But it should be of no surprise to us, when John the Baptist identified Christ, more people started following Christ than him. That was John's goal all along, wasn't it? But people didn't understand that, and they came to John the Baptist, and they told him, remember that one you introduced into society? He's more popular than you are, John. He's got more followers than you are, John, than you have, John. What was John's response to that? John 3, verse 30, he must increase, but I must decrease. Now that is the mark of God's servant. Christ must increase in all things. That is the driving desire of every one of God's preachers. All right, fifthly, God's preacher is not greater than any other believer. Verse 11, verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. Now, God's preachers are to be respected. They're to be loved by God's people for the work's sake. You're to pray for God's preacher, just like you're to pray for one another. But when you pray for the preacher, you're praying that God will bless him with a message for your heart. And I hope you do love those who give of themselves for your benefit. I hope you do love those who give of themselves so that you'll know Christ, so that you'll be fed and strengthened and encouraged and comforted by the preaching of Christ. I hope you do love those who make it their business to teach you the Scriptures. And I'm thankful that is the attitude of this congregation. It makes the job of being your pastor a whole lot easier, and I'm thankful for it. God's preachers are to be respected, and they are to be loved. But don't ever think that God's preacher is better, that he is more righteous, that he's more loved of God, that his prayers are more likely to be heard than your prayers are, because somehow God loves him more than he does the rest of his children. None of that is true in the least. Now, our Lord, who knows all things, this is what he said of John the Baptist. There's not been a greater born of woman than John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a great preacher. He was a great servant of God. That's true. But this is also true. John the Baptist is least in the kingdom of heaven. The greatest among women is equal, or the greatest among men born of women, the greatest is equal to every believer who's been saved by Christ. That's what the Lord's saying here. Every believer, every one of them, they're all made just like Christ. They're all made holy in Christ. They're all loved in Christ. They're all accepted of the Father in Christ. Now, it has to be that way, doesn't it? It has to be. If we're saved by grace and our works don't add anything to our salvation, then it has to be that way, that one's not greater than the other. God's preacher preaches the message of salvation by grace in Christ Jesus. You know why he preaches that message? That's the way God saved him. That's the message that he depends upon. Now, that's the very man I want preaching the gospel to me. I want to hear one beggar telling me another beggar where he found bread so I can go. Now, you find a man that preaches like that, who preaches Christ because he depends upon Christ. You find a man preaching God's grace because he depends upon God's grace. If you find a man like that, you listen to him. He'll have a message